Good evening. It's good to see you all again this evening. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 126. The title of this message, Past Deliverance. Deliverance. Now the psalm begins with this title, A Song of Degrees. Song of Degrees. This is the seventh of the series of the Songs of Degrees in the book of Psalms. Now, these Songs of Degrees were sang by the Israelites as they were marching up to Zion to worship God. And since this is the seventh step of that progression, we might surely expect something wonderful from this psalm. This psalm has been delivered, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to comfort God's people, to comfort them as they journey through this barren wilderness. As we attempt and desire to worship God, we often become weary in our travels. We often get bogged down, and we need comfort. And the way the psalmist comforts God's people is to stir up their memory, to stir up our remembrance of God's past deliverance. And this remembrance of His deliverance gives us hope of our present deliverance and our future deliverance. Now, these saints here in this psalm were under the dark providences of God, the assaults of Satan. And to those whose conscience are troubled, who feel the weight of their sins, this psalm is given to you. Now, I've got three things in this psalm. First, I want us to see the remembrance of past deliverance. Second, the hope of present deliverance. And then thirdly, I want us to see the deliverer. The deliverer is in the last verse of this psalm. And I want you to see that this hope that we have of our deliverance is not based upon our sorrow or our tears or our troubles or our merits. It is based on Christ's suffering, Christ's sorrows, Christ's tears, His offering. So first of all, I want to see the remembrance of our deliverance. This song begins with this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, these pilgriming children of God, being in trouble, burdened by their travels, are given this psalm to stir the memory of God's glorious past deliverances. They were compelled by the Holy Spirit to look back at times of national darkness and bondage. They were to remember how that they were kept in chains, how they were made slaves of wicked, godless men. They were to remember how they were powerless, how they were weak and helpless to free themselves from this captivity. But now, in remembering the darkness and the chains, God was not to have them to remain in this melancholy state. He was not to have them remain in this black and painful memory, but rather look immediately to the time when Jehovah delivered them, when Jehovah freed them from this captivity. Look what it says. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Now remember how God delivered Israel from Egypt. He delivered them with a strong hand a mighty display of His omnipotent power to deliver His people. And how did He do it? How did He deliver Israel? When they were to remember when the Lord delivered us, when the Lord turned again our captivity, what is the first thing they remember? They remember the Passover. They remember the Lamb. It was by the blood of the Lamb that they were freed. And secondly, they were to remember it was by the waters of the Red Sea that they were ultimately delivered from their enemies. And the same judgment that night, when God swore that night, He said, I will pass through and smite the firstborn of Egypt. I know this, that the Lord went through all of Egypt. All of Egypt was under the judgment of God. But only those who had the blood lived. Remember that all passed through the Red Sea. Isn't that right? The Israelites went through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was going through the Red Sea. But you remember that only Israel was delivered to the other side. Now this surely is intended of the Holy Spirit not to give us a history lesson of the Jewish nation, but rather to cause every believer in Christ to remember our great deliverance. Our great deliverance from the bondage of sin, from the dominion of Satan. We were delivered. We were delivered. And so tonight I pray the Spirit of God would stir your mind and set your affection on this. Remember when you were delivered of the Lord. Remember how you were captive. Remember how He delivered you from this captivity. We were in bonds of sin, were we not? By nature we were born servants of our own lusts and under the dominion and power of Satan. And this is what God has delivered us from. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 25, now Paul is speaking to this young preacher on how he is to preach the word. He's given them this, that he is to preach, but this is how he is. Verse 25, preaching in meekness. In meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Did I say check in chapter 2? Chapter 2, verse 25. I'm going to make sure I got you to the right place. He says, preach in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You realize that men oppose deliverance by nature. They're against it. They're against it. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who have been taken captive by him at his will. This is true of all of us. We are taken captive. We are taken captive at his will simply because of this. We by nature are dead in sins. You ever see a dead fish floating down the river? How easy is the river to take that fish and carry it along? That's how easily Satan carries us along, because we are dead. The only thing that obstructs him or moves him so as not to take us as far as he will is God. And so it is. We are dead in sins and we can do nothing but sin. You know, this is, I can't believe this is so obvious. It's so obvious to us to believe concerning our nature, isn't it? Sin is not just what we do, it is who we are. I like the way Todd put it one time, you cannot not sin. It's just not possible. By nature, that's all we are. We are born dead, and therefore, we are powerless to deliver ourselves. Just as the dead fish is powerless to swim upstream, so we too, being dead, can do nothing but float. We cannot, we go with the current. We go with the way the world goes. That's our nature. We are in chains of bondage. We cannot deliver ourselves. In fact, those who are now even in chains cannot break free. And listen, they don't want to. It's not like man wants to break free from his chains. It's not like man wants to serve God, but God won't let him. Man has no desire after the things of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand. Listen, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In fact, we were children, not of neutral children. You think of someone who's dead, it's kind of neutral. But that's not the case. We being dead in sins does not make us neutral. Paul says this, that we were children of wrath. You know what that means? It means you hated God. By nature, we are haters of God. But I want the Lord to stir our minds and hearts and remember the grace of God who came to us in our captivity. God came to us in our captivity. Remember the grace of God. Remember that He did not wait for us to come to Him. He did not wait until we got better. He did not wait till we freed ourselves. God came to us in the very teeth of our iniquity, in the very heart of our hatred and rebellion toward God. That's when God came to us. And always like that hymn, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. You know, men, are you trying to get better to come to Christ? I'll tell you this, you ain't coming. You ain't coming. I tell you this, when God comes to you, you most surely will come to Him. You will. Now, then I want you to see that you and I who are in chains, I want to, now that God has delivered us, stir up your mind to remember this. Your deliverance was on purpose. Purpose. It was not accidental. He came to us in sovereign love and free grace. And remember that our God purposed our deliverance even before our captivity. You know, Israel, when they had to stir up their minds to remember this, this was written in Scripture. Abraham, God told Abraham this. He said, your children will be held captive 400 years, and then I will deliver them. So God had purposed to deliver Israel even before their captivity. So it is true of the type, it is true of the real Israel of God, you and me. Before our captivity, God had already purposed your deliverance. He had already purposed it. Before the just sentence of death fell upon our father Adam, God had purposed your deliverance. The Scripture says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Yet before that sin, God had already perfectly ordained your deliverance. It was by the grace of the Father, by the love of the Father, He gave us to Christ. Scripture says, according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, how? By Jesus Christ. All of this was determined before, that Christ should bear the full responsibility of our salvation. You know who's responsible to bring you to glory? Christ. Not you.
Christ. Why? God hath made Him.
God put us in Christ. Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30? But of God are you in Christ Jesus. Who put you there? God did. When did He do it? Before there was ever sin. Before there was ever a created being at all, God had already put you in Christ. Purposed your deliverance. And He purposed this, that Christ should be made your wisdom. You have any wisdom? What is wisdom? It's this. Christ. Isn't He the wisdom of God? How can God be just and justify the ungodly? You know that? You understand how that can be? Christ. He's the wisdom of God. God made Him to be our wisdom. Righteousness. You have righteousness? Who made that? Christ did. All by Himself. God purposed He should. Sanctification, holiness. Who made you holy? Isn't that what I just read in Ephesians chapter 1? That you should be holy and without blame? Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our redemption. Who paid for our sins? It was Christ. Therefore, as you now remember the chains of your depravity, look now and see that Jesus Christ, who was purposed of God, has now accomplished and purchased your freedom. What God purposed, Christ accomplished. That's the second thing you should remember about your deliverance. It was not only purposed, it was purchased. Purchased. Christ came and purchased our freedom. He purchased us from the justice of God, from the snares of the devil, from the rule of our sins. How did He do this? By coming into this world as a man, as a representative man. That's what Adam was, wasn't he? He was a representative man. And what was the result of his representation? When he died, when he sinned, all his posterity died and sinned in the representative. Paul says, even so, there in Romans 5, he says, just like that. Christ is a representative. And so all that Christ earned, all that Christ purchased, all that Christ merited belongs to those He represented. All that the Father gave Him. This is why Christ should say this. This is how confident Christ was of His victory. He said this, all that the Father giveth Me. What is that? All I represent, every one of them, shall come to Me. Every one of them. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. This is the Father's will which has sent Me, that of all He had given Me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Behold how our God has sent our Passover lamb. Just as He determined Israel's deliverance from Egypt, so it came to pass. How? The same way it came to pass with us. He sent a lamb to deliver Israel. And it was by the blood of the lamb that Israel was recovered from their captivity. Even so it is with us. Christ Jesus is our Passover lamb. John says this, that the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made one with our nature so as to be both our priest and offering. You got the Passover lamb. Well, who killed the Passover lamb? It was a priest. Was a representative of that household. He's the one that slain the lamb. He is the one that applied the blood. So it is with Christ. He is our representative. You imagine the beauty of those ceremonies that they had in Israel concerning the sacrifices.
You know, that man that stood up there and offered those sacrifices, there was only one high priest. There was only one person that could offer the sacrifice. And he did it for all Israel. He did it for all of them. He was their representative man, being their high priest. And that sacrifice that he offered, it was for himself and all Israel. How much more now the true high priest? Remember our high priest. Remember your deliverance came by the offering of a high priest. It's in Hebrews 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, he says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that we may offer both gifts and sacrifices, he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin." And we know this, that he's talking in this text about Christ, who is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Those high priests in Israel, they didn't last very long. And they just lived and they died and had to get another one. But our high priest is an eternal one. He's had no beginning. He has no end. He is our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, he is our representative man, so that he should fulfill and satisfy the perfect law of God by his obedience, and then offer himself as a sacrifice. Remember, Israel could not go out from Egypt except through the Passover lamb. Except through the Passover. Neither can we be delivered except Christ offer himself a sacrifice for sin. And that's exactly what happened. Remember that. Remember, he offered himself to God for our sins. And over there, I didn't mention this, but in Hebrews chapter 5, I forget which verse it is, he said that this high priest, after he'd offered that sacrifice, obtained eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 12, he says that his offering obtained eternal redemption. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, he said those high priests, they offer sacrifices year after year, could never take away sin, but this man. But this man. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down. After his work was done, he didn't do it anymore. It was perfect. It was done. It was accomplished. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down forever, expecting something, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. For by his one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Behold, how this his offering in righteousness then has delivered us. He by himself purchased our salvation. And the next thing you see in Israel's deliverance is them coming to the Red Sea, right? You see them. They're at the Red Sea. They're trapped on all sides. Pharaoh now is pursuing them. And what does God do? He says, go forward into the sea. But God does something first before they go forward. He parts it. He separates his people from the Egyptians. Remember, he put that big storm in between both of them. On the one side of Egypt, it was dark and they couldn't see. On the side of Israel, it was light. Again, another picture of God's election, God's separation, God's division of his people. And he parts the Red Sea. And they go forth into the Red Sea on what? On dry ground. That's vitally important. Because this picture testifies that Christ's offering for sin, has parted the sea of God's justice. God refused to allow us to be held captive
by our enemies. And by the blood of Christ, the sea of God's justice is now parted, and as we walk through this world, we walk on what? Dry ground. Firm ground. Don't you know we have a firm standing before God? We have this promise that not a drop of God's justice will touch us. Behold, there is nothing that will ever hinder us or keep us from God. Who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? I like that song, if I can remember it. Who shall in thy presence stand and match omnipotence, unfold the grasp of thy right hand, and pluck the sinner thence? Who? There's none. Why? God purposed your deliverance. Christ purchased your redemption. He purchased it. You remember what happened when Pharaoh tried to come the same way? What happened to them? Did they come through on dry ground? No. Scripture says that the wheel began to fall off and sinking in the mud. To them it was quicksand. Isn't that a picture of false religion, quicksand? Just can't ever get a hold. Can't ever get a footing. Always striving for heaven. Always plugging along, trying. How are you going to get to, are you going to be getting to heaven? Are you going to go to heaven? Well, I'm trying. That's because you're bogged down in religion. See, we're not bogged down in religion. We're walking on dry ground. You know how I know I'm getting to heaven? Because Christ, His offering was perfect. His righteousness was perfect. That's my standing. That's my hope. That's my deliverance. Remember that. Your deliverance was based on God's purpose, God's will, and Christ's purchase. Nothing else. Nothing else. And I want you to see this purchased possession. What does the Redeemer say about it? What does Christ, who was sent to purchase your redemption, what does He declare to you? What were His words on Calvary's tree before He exhaled His Spirit before God? What were they? It is finished. It's done. It's done. Don't you see your salvation's done? It's done. Nothing left to do. God was not willing to impute your sins to you. God was not willing that any of His children should perish. God could not and would not accept anything but the blood of His own dear Son. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know this well. 2 Corinthians 5 is exactly what I just said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That new nature you have, that holy nature, that's of God. Look at what He says, and all things are of God. Who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation, for we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. What's your standing? How can I call you sinners to be reconciled to God? For God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, for this purpose that we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. So in remembering our captivity, in remembering God's perfect purposed grace of our deliverance and Christ's purchase. Remember this, that it is fully paid. Now, how do we know it's fully paid? How do we know Christ's work is sufficient? He said it's finished, but how do we know? Scripture plainly tells us this because God raised Him from the dead. Scripture says, whom God, having raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because. Here's why God raised Christ. Because it was not possible that death should hold Him. Why does death hold men? Sin. Sin. And because Christ had put away our sin forever, God says, what's keeping Him? Nothing. God raised Him up and God made Him both Lord and Christ. He is now exalted in heaven. Therefore, all of the sins of His people are removed from them. All of the justice of God that was against our sin is right now forever satisfied. You know what I love about the justice of God? That He cannot demand twice payment for sin. Isn't that true? He would be unjust if He demanded it of Christ and then of me. He can't. He won't. Why? Because that's what He willed. That's what He purposed. Christ removed our sins. And thirdly, I want you to remember this, your experience of this. What was your experience of this? Everyone that God purposed to save, everyone that Christ purchased, will experience deliverance. Now, when we were born in this world, our deliverance was not known. In truth, we were in captivity, though the price had been paid. Our deliverance was purposed of God, yet we were born captives. You know, I like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, I believe it's 9. It says, God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Which one was first? Did God save you or call you first? He saved you first. And then because He saved you, what did He do? He called you with an effectual holy calling. A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to give you I'm not going to finish. I'm not going to finish. But give you as much as I can. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. I want you, again, we're remembering our experience of this. Now, Ezekiel chapter 6, see if this is not your experience. Ezekiel said, remember when the Lord turned our captivity? And this is a good picture of our experience. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 2. He said, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Isn't that what you first knew about yourself when He delivered you? You knew your abomination. You knew your captivity. He says, say, thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is as the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite. You were a bastard. What he was saying. You were a heathen bastard. And you were so hated that your mom and dad threw you out at your birth. We were an abomination to God and an outcast among men. This is what we were in Adam before our birth. But now we are born again, born in this world. We see our nature. Verse 4, and as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed with water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. By birth, we were still attached to and feeding on the dead navel cord of sin. We were unwashed There was no offering for our sins. We were unpitied by the law of God. We could never be saved by our own power or obedience. We were like all men, cast out and left to die under the sentence of God's justice. But God, who purposed our deliverance, but Christ, who has satisfied the justice of God so as He is able to wash us. He washed us in His own blood. This same God of grace came to us in our blood. He said in verse 6, "When I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood." How did He find you? Did He find you well? Did He find you clean? Did He find you washed? Did He find you suppled? No. He found you an outcast, a bastard son, worthless, vile and loathsome. Yet He said, "I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." Again, we see that God did not wait for us, did not depend upon our will to come to Him or religious works, but He came to us in our own polluted blood. He came to deliver us while we were in our chains. He comes to set free those who are born captives. And then He says in verse 7, "I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxing great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare." What does this mean? He gave us life. All that speaks of life. In verse 8 He said, "When I passed by thee to look upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." What is this skirt but the righteousness of Christ to cover our nakedness? What is this covenant but the covenant of grace wherewith we are made heirs, sons of God? In verse 9 He said, "Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. And I clothed thee with broidered work, with shod thee with the badger's skin. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk." In other words, He cleanses us from all our unrighteousness with His blood. "I decked thee with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thine hands and thy neck. I put a jewel in thy forehead, earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head." This speaks of our sonship, our being children of God. Who wears such things but princes and kings? "Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was fine linen, silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and was exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom." Oh, how we are made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Have you been set free? Have you been delivered? Has God come to you in your nakedness and robed you in the righteousness of Christ? Has He washed you in the blood of His Son every whit clean? Has He put the crown of life upon your head and made you to eat of the body and blood of Christ by faith? Are you the sons of God? Listen, as many as receive Him, how may I know, am I delivered or not? As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to be called the sons of God, which were born. How were you born? By the blood? No. By the will of the flesh? No. By the will of man? No. By the will of God? Yes. We were born by the will of God. Now go back to your text and see this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, a purposed deliverance, purchased, experienced deliverance. Look at this. What happened when you experienced this deliverance? We were like them that dreamed. Is this possible? Is it possible that God should save a man like me, a sinner, vile and unclean? How is it possible? We were like them that dreamed. You look into the prison house from whence we have been set free. I like this in Psalm 113. It says, He taketh the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill. Is that where He got you? That's where He got me. Prisoner. Prisoner in the dust. A beggar in the dunghill. And what did He do? He said He made them to be princes. Kings. Isn't that what the Scripture said? We are kings and priests unto our God. Go look in the mirror. What do you see? You see a king? You see a priest? No, you won't see that. You only see that by faith. You only see it by what God gives us in our heart. It is faith in Christ. Yes, He hath done this. And we are like them that dream. How could we be? We sing that song out. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain? For me, for Him who Him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in nature's night. Thine eyes diffused the quickening ray. I awoke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off. My heart is free. And what did I do? What did you do when your chains fell off? Did you run back to the chains? My chains fell off. My heart is free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. That is the experience of our captivity being delivered. We were like them that dreamed. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they that are among the heathen, they said, the Lord hath done great things for them. And you know what we said? The Lord hath done great things for us. You're right. You're right. The Lord hath done great things for us. You know, when a person's saved, he don't have to really worry about it. It's going to get out on him. It's going to get out on him. You're free. It's going to get out on you. Why? Because the Lord hath done great things for us. The Lord hath done great things for us. Now then, in remembering this, I'm going to leave you with this. Hope of present deliverance. Now, when we first were converted, there was joy. There was peace. We thought for sure that every mountain would be made low. Every valley would be raised up. We would walk on flat ground all the way to glory. No trouble. No trouble. You know, that's what Israel thought when they crossed the Red Sea. They thought it was smooth sailing from there. Why do you think they murmured so much when they had trouble? Because they thought it should be smooth. And that's how we think when we begin this walk with Christ. We begin walking by faith. We think that everything should go our way. Surely we're sons of God. Surely the world knows this. Surely they'll just get out of our way. The flesh now is made subservient, and I won't have to deal with him no more. Satan is conquered. Surely I won't have to deal with him. The world is under God's control. Surely I won't have any trouble. Now, is that your experience? Of course not. Look at Israel again in your text. Look at this. Look at verse 5. Verse 4. Turn, what's that word? Again, our captivity. Children of God, I want you to take heed. And I want you to bear this as a warning. Every believer in Christ is capable of any sin except leaving Christ. You and I are capable of any sin. Has this not been borne out in Scripture? David killed a man after he committed adultery with his wife. Lot was delivered twice. The first time he was delivered, he left Abraham and the Word of God and dwelt among Sodomites. And then when he was delivered of Abraham again, he went right back to the Sodomites. And when God delivered him again, where did he go? He went to a cave and committed incest with his own daughters. Yet this was a man justified before God. And so when we walk through this world and we do fall into sin, what then is our cry? Lord, turn again my captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why does God allow such afflictions? Why does God allow us to fall into such grievous and hurtful sins? Listen, you and I would be so self-righteous we couldn't stand ourselves. How often do our brethren fall into sin and we look at them and say, man, how in the world could you do that? What? Obviously, you don't know yourself well. You don't know yourself. God allows these things so as we would should be sober. That's what Peter said. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, Peter, he knew that by experience. When he wrote that, he knew that experimentally. Well, our Lord said, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. You know what he did? He did. How easy was it for him to tempt Peter into denying the Lord three times? How easy do you suppose you would deny the Lord if left to yourself? And yet, what was the only difference between Peter and Judas? Christ said, but I have prayed for thee. And so in the teeth of our iniquity, when we are cast down by dark providence, when we are made to and exposed to be sinners of the vilest sort, what then is our hope that He will deliver us again? Remember how He has already delivered you. And if you remember that, then there sure is confidence that He'll do it again. He'll do it again. I like that in John when he says, here the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You know what that means? It means this. He has cleansed us from all sin. He is right now cleansing us from all sin. And He shall forever, as long as we exist in this body, cleanse us from all our sins. That's how powerful the blood of Christ is. But we know this, that all our weeping, all our striving, all our crying unto God, and when we cry, we have this promise that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why is this? What's your confidence of this? That last verse, I'm going to read it to you, because this speaks of the why you have hope of deliverance. In verse 6, it says this, He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want you to notice that this, the pronoun change. First, it begins with He turned our captivity. We were like them that dream. And it says the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. But now it's talking about He. Singular. Person. By Himself. This is Christ. Listen, the reason you and I have hope of present deliverance is because, not because of our weeping, not because of our lamenting sin, but because He that goeth forth weeping, Christ, who went forth weeping, bearing precious seed. You and I are the precious seed. He bore us as He walked through this world. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as He bore our sins on Calvary's tree, the Scripture says, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Do you think Christ is ever discouraged? Scripture says He is. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Why? Because He that went forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing His full-grown sheaves with Him. That's us. How many will He lose? You that have been delivered, you suppose He'll lose you? You suppose you'll slip through the cracks unnoticed? No. He shall doubtless come again. And I'll tell you this, when He comes again, what rejoicing shall there be when He comes again and brings us to a place where there is no more sin? You know, I've had to think about that sometimes, and it just baffles my mind. I don't know of a place without sin. Do you? I've never experienced a place without sin. A place without tears. A place without sorrow. A place without grief. But when He comes, He will doubtless come again and bring us to Himself. When a believer dies, do you ever think about the joy he experiences the moment he enters into glory? You ever think about that? You think about the sheer joy of seeing the one that saved him. Beholding His face. Feeling His embrace. How many times have you wanted to feel that? Sometimes I just wanted to hold my hand. Just hold my hand. Not going to do that. Not till I get there. When He comes again and brings us to Himself, what a state of joy there is for the believer that's been delivered. I pray God will help you in this to remember your deliverance. And by remembering, you have confidence that He will constantly deliver you from sin and bring you to Himself. Thank you.